Welcome to Double Fries, No Slaw. Sunday night, we're on time, 6 p.m. We're going to do this in under an hour, although we have a lot to talk about today. So it might be the off season, but we are locked and ready to go. Richie, how's your weekend been?
Good, man. I went out to catch the UCF-Samford game baseball today. It was the bark at the park, so Lindsay and I brought the dogs, and it was a really good time. Apparently, I went to go to the bathroom, and Franklin, one of our dogs, just went nuts, and my wife busted her finger up pretty good. But you know, other than that, it was a great day. Weather was beautiful all day. Oh my goodness,
has been nice. That it rained all weekend last weekend, and then it's been really nice ever since then. Speaking of busted up, FSU baseball busted up their opponents. We'll talk about that
20-7
a little bit. Yeah, so. Let's get into it. Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and then 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Appreciate them for their support. Make sure you go by and get your Gut Box Double Fries, No Slaw. We'll do something for the spring game. I'm still trying to figure that out, but we will do something, some kind of tailgate, some kind of get-together. I just don't know what lots are open, what lots are being renovated, what, you know, people don't know, you know, what lots they have this year. And then the spring game isn't necessarily your regular full season parking spot. And so we will do. So I've had a couple people ask, and then, you know, we'll obviously have Guthrie's there, but I just have no idea where we'll be. So we'll figure that out as time gets closer. You know, I certainly want to get together and want to do something. That weekend, I have no clue what it's going to be or where or what, but, you know, plan to come hang out spring game
weekend. Well, weekend is the spring game?
You know, it hasn't been officially announced, but folks are telling me it's 420. So, okay. You know, fits pretty well for FSU fans. So let's get after it. I'm hearing the weekend of April 20th. But maybe that's been officially released. I don't know. But that's kind of what I've been told a couple of times. So that's what I think it is. Let's assume that's it. Unfortunately, the Florida State baseball team plays Miami the weekend before, so that would be fun if they would ever do that, but it just doesn't seem like that's a thing they do. Man, I can't read these with my eyes. So, Ciro, thanks for coming a member. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
What 1 year anniversary of Matthew Cleveland buzzer beater against Miami. Speaking
that's
of Miami.
That's exciting. Yeah. Boy, he has I think we talked a lot of crap when that kid went elsewhere, and then he has he's been great for us down there. Yes. I'll just say that. Maybe that's the easiest way to put it. So their fans are pretty over it. So, all right, let's jump into it. Richie, probably the biggest thing that came out, the most exciting news. It's a slow time. It's a slow week. I get that. So bear with us as we go through some of this stuff. But probably the most exciting thing that came out was the news around the ACC and Florida State battle. ESPN got involved a little bit. They were basically summoned to talk about, to give an update on whether or not Florida State's and the ACC's agreement, or the ESPN and the ACC's agreement, really did need to be out in the public, whether it needed to be available for everybody to see or not. The ACC doesn't want things out in the public, spoiler alert, and Florida State says we don't have any problem putting stuff out there and, you know, exposing everything for the world. ESPN weighed in this week and said, no, we kind of side with the ACC here. We think there's some trade secrets or some stuff that shouldn't go down, shouldn't be left for public viewing or whatever. It really doesn't have a huge impact on what will end up happening. It's really just kind of what can come out, what can't come out. So I don't know that that's that groundbreaking. I think it was pretty expected that ESPN would kind of side that way and want their trade secrets hidden behind, you know, cloak and dagger or whatever. But what did come out and what ESPN did say was kind of a subtle shot, maybe, in alluding to the fact that Florida State may have committed a felony. So anyway, you know, if you're not all the way caught up on that, did a video on it earlier this week. But Richie, thoughts around the accusations there, which certainly seem to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious to me. You got to think about the ACC and ESPN. They clearly do not want these agreements to be made public. And we knew that well before the ESPN got involved. But ESPN actually chiming in on behalf of the ACC in hopes to keep the documents sealed, which I believe March 12th. So that's coming up really quickly. But we'll see what happens there. But it's hilarious to me that ESPN is this invested now with the ACC, right? Because they do not want this to get public. And I think, you know, the felony line is hilarious to me because if the ACC or ESPN had any proof of anyone at Florida State or associated with Florida State committing any felony whatsoever, that would have been presented by now. It's not something you just hold in your back pocket and say, you know, we're going to hang out and once we get a little further down the line, then we might decide we want to, you know, bring this out. So it was a 17-page document that the ESPN released. And that was kind of the only, you know, noteworthy news, so to speak, in that document, that 17-page document that the ESPN did on behalf of the ACC. And, you know, we're going to get into this, but the SEC does not seem like an option at this point, TJ.
Yeah, let's pause on that because I have some thoughts there, too. And we can maybe kind of go back and forth on this. But, yeah, for going back to the felony thing or the, you know, potential accusation, I don't know. It just seems kind of crazy too, because it's a civil matter.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Like it's a contract dispute. And so for like, you know, if you hire me to put a new roof on, right. Something you've gone through and had some fun with recently. And let's say I do that. Right. But like, I just don't do it up to like the standards you want. Right. Like we have a disagreement on how good the service was. Like, I didn't scam you. I didn't con you. I didn't like lie or commit fraud. I just didn't do as good of a job as you wanted, right? Or I didn't hold up my, like you can't call the cops on me, right? Like that's just not how things work, right? If I shot bullet holes through your roof, like I think you could call the cops then, right? Like I think you'd be like, well, you discharged a weapon. But like that's just, so anyway, in like a civil dispute, like that's just not how things work. So it's hilarious to me that ESPN and Disney and stuff, and I would even kind of go down that route, would go down the route of, you know, there might have been a crime committed here. So, all right, back. So anyway, yeah, hilarious, laughable. Yeah. I don't know. I don't necessarily know that I think like SEC's off the table. I still do think it's the Big Ten that's more likely, but I don't know that I'm willing to say the SEC's like not an option. I still think at the end of the day, they are going to have a very, very tough time, ESPN and the SEC, letting a brand like Florida State get away to the Big Ten. Like, to me, that's the biggest reason I'm not willing to go like Big Ten 100%.
Yeah, I think the SEC, the Big Ten would love to, you know, be literally a coast-to-coast conference. And to plant your flag in the state of Florida, in the heart of SEC country, that's a huge deal. That's the only thing. I TJ, think it were like 95% going to the Big Ten. But that 5% is the SEC saying, no, we need to keep the Big Ten out of the state of Florida. They're probably going to get North Carolina. They're probably going to get Virginia. But the SEC does not want the Big Ten in Florida, because now you have literally the Southeast, the Midwest, the West Coast. The Big Ten will be a true national conference, which is something the SEC, they love how they're so regional, and they want to have all a chokehold on this region in the Southeast, but they also don't want to go against a true national conference that has a USC, a Florida State, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. True coast-to-coast conference. That's what we're looking at, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Big Ten will make a stronger play. I think it'll end up being the Big Ten, but again, I just don't know that I'm ready to close the door completely on the SEC and ESPN. I think, because I've talked about this, I think that if the Big Ten was to get, like, Florida State and Notre Dame, I think they're just as good, if not better, of a brand, of a conference.
Better, yeah, at that point,
you know, than the SEC would be. And I mean, and I don't think they add Clemson, but if they somehow got Clemson in there too, and Miami, you know, then I think the SEC really has to like kind of scramble for scraps. Like, who's really left at that point? Like, you're going to find Oklahoma State or TCU State, or a program like that.
Sorry,
you know,
Hunter, but yeah.
You know, like you talked about UVA and UNC, maybe they go the basketball route. I mean, maybe that, you know, Louisville, you know, with SEC money might want, like, in 15 years might be like a great program, but like, I don't know. So like, to me, that's what it is. Like you would be, it's all about defense, right? Like it's all about, yeah. That's what the SEC used to be about. It's all about defense and kind of trying to keep the Big Ten from being the premier conference. Cause I think at that point, being the national brand, the coast-to-coast conference, like the Big Ten's already really close to there too. But if the SEC was to somehow get like Florida State and Clemson right now added, then you'd say like, man, that's like 20 of the last like 23 championship. Like that's a lot. Like that's a lot of, but then if you start to move stuff around, I don't know. They still have a lot of championships either way. I just think that two or three massive brands like Florida State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, even, you know, in the Big Ten would really kind of be pretty on par, maybe even just above what the SEC has right now. So, with you. I think there's a lot better chance that it ends up being the Big Ten right now. Harlan, this is a good point to clip it. Richie, this is kind of controversial, and a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on this, but what are your thoughts on these teal N7 uniforms for football? For those that don't know, they're the ones that basketball wears some. We've seen some soccer. I think just the goalies have worn them. I don't know if we've done an entire game with the entire team in them. Florida State, for the Duke game last year, wore them as like, you know, wore a lot of the armbands and mouth guards and different things that were teal. But we've seen some teams wear this, Richie. Football would be a completely different story. What are your thoughts on these uniforms here?
I'm a fan. I love them. And I just looking at them, I think it was Stephen Ponder with the Seminole Boosters who, you know, posted the picture where it kind of went viral in Florida State Twitter Nation or X Nation, whatever we want to call it. But I'm a huge fan of these things. I think they should be worn once a year, every single year. And it should be worn for a game that, you know, maybe it's homecoming. I don't know, whatever it is, but pay tribute to the Seminole Tribe of Florida. I absolutely love the photos we saw of the uniforms that were leaked on X. And I will, you know, I'm my favorite quarter zip, shout out Battle's End. I'm wearing the Battle's End one right now, but my favorite quarter zip is from the Seminole Legacy Golf Course, which is the N7 teal blue. And man, I just think that would be an electric uniform. You're not going to wear them against Florida or Miami or Clemson or Notre Dame or any of the, you know, the big ones. But if you have Cal coming to town or SMU coming to town now that again, the ACC, who knows, this might be the last season in there, but I'm a huge fan of them. TJ, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. I want to preface this by saying I like all of the, like, I am not like a get off my lawn. I think you probably know where I'm going here with this. Then I am not a get off my lawn person when it comes to uniforms. Like, some people absolutely hate the white helmets. Like, anything that goes away from the gold helmet, they absolutely hate. Some people hate the black helmets. They hate the mix match, like, you know, black tops, garnet pants. Like, I don't mind any of that stuff. Now, I do think there's some weird combos. Like, I think that, excuse me. I think that, like, you know, the garnet tops and black, I think some of it's like, okay, well, it just, yeah, you know, go like all black or all garnet or all white, you know, like that. But I mean, I'm not like freaking out about any of it. You know, garnet pants, white tops, garnet hats, I'm good with that. White garnet, I'm good with that. Because they're all within the color wheel, right? Like, they're all within the color scheme. Like, I hate orange and blue, but no UF uniform, like, offends me more than the other one, because, you know, blue, orange, blue, white, orange, all that's fine. Like, you know, like, keep it with it. But when they did that reptile one a few years ago, jeez, remember that? Like, yeah, that's not a UF color. So, like, to me, it's just weird. Now, I actually liked the all black ones that they wore this year for like Military Appreciation Day or whatever that was. I think they lost to Arkansas that game. So shout out to KJ Jefferson. I hate the teal. I absolutely, for like a full uniform, I don't mind it as wristbands. I don't mind it as like sleeves. I don't mind as socks. I don't mind as a mouth guard. I don't care if you want to do your eye black with the teal. I don't like it at all.
I love it. I love it.
I am get off my lawn 1,000,000% for those. Like, I cannot stand them. And I don't, it's just not FSU at all. And I've seen people say like, oh, well, you're paying tribute to the tribe. We pay tribute to the tribe like in literally everything we do. So like, I'm not necessarily buying that. Like, I get it. I get the idea. You could pay tribute to the tribe with the, I don't like it for a full uniform. I just don't. I don't know. There's something so like Florida State forever had the best uniforms and the best helmet in the game, right? And they always have. And so when you change that up, like when you go away from that true garnet and gold and that teal, I understand the idea behind it. I understand it's paying tribute. But that teal is so loud and it's so obnoxious. I am just not a fan. And listen, if they do it, I'm still going to cheer for the team just as loud. Like, I'm not going to go keep this, you know, one true garnet all over my Facebook and riot and pull my booster donations or anything like that, like some of you psychos do with Keep This Chief. But I'm not a fan personally.
TJ is going to be the first one to buy Bryant the youth teal jersey, the N7 Florida State football jersey. And I absolutely love it, man. I do wonder, I don't know if I'd like the all blue, but I think that N7 blue, that teal on top of some gold pants, I think that would be really, really cool to see coming out in Doak Campbell Stadium. I do think if you are going to do the N7, the teal blue Florida State jerseys, you got to do them at home. That's not something you can do on the road game. Like, you know, we all love the Yazzie Whites at Louisville, but this one, if you're going to do it, I'm a fan, TJ is not. But TJ, if you do it, you have to do this one at home, right?
I don't know. I don't know that I have a big preference one way or the other, home or away. I think anything you do that's, I don't know. I see pros and cons for everything. And because I don't like the uniform, like, I'd rather not. I see, like, I would have liked those all. Now, I happened to be at Louisville for those all whites in 2022, right? And so I got to see those live. I would have been annoyed if I didn't go to that game, though. I'd have been like, man, I'd rather see those in person. You know, like, I'd rather, that's a game I want to see those uniforms. Because I don't like these, I'd rather them just do it on a game I'm not watching. Now, that said, I'm going to be, you know, watching it one way or the other. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a strong preference. I mean, I'd be okay if they even just, I mean, I don't know how this would look, but if you just did your regular garnet and gold uniforms and then, like, did, like, your like, the numbers in, like, a teal outline or something. Just like a little accent, right? I don't know. I just think it's so loud. I know I'm get off my lawn right now, but I'm not a big fan. Hit the comments, right? What do you guys think? If you're watching this on the live or the most people are going to be watching this on the replay. If you're watching this on the replay, what are your thoughts? Are you with me or Richie on this? Do you like the teal? Do you not like the teal? There's going to be a direct correlation with over 40 are all going to be no's and under 30 are all going to be yeses. And then like 30 to 40 is like going to be a split, right? Depending on just your thoughts. But there will be a direct correlation with your age and whether you're not like these or not. Harlan says he likes them. So that just kind of proves, yeah, under 30.
So me and Harlan are, we're team N7. I love it. And on that note, TJ, just talking about uniform colors, I was talking to my wife today and, you know, we're excited about Ireland. We're going to the game. When I was in school, the baseball team played on St. Patrick's Day, and they sold a limited edition white cap, green bill, green Florida State logo hat for St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, damn, I wish I had bought that because that would be the perfect hat to wear to Ireland for this game.
So I think garnet and gold, I don't know if they have them live right now, but I've definitely seen like the Irish stuff on their website. Maybe that's a good time to give them a plug, but gardengold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW. Yeah, so they've got a green shirt right now that I'm looking at. I don't see a hat, just off the top, but maybe we can get them to add that.
We'll get with Tara. We need to make that happen
before we go. But yeah, I've got a green shirt right here with a four leaf clover on it, as is the O for Knowles. So there's some good stuff over there. If you need your Ireland gear or just any FSU gear, make sure you're shopping at garnetandgold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for 15% off. Yeah, I like the green stuff too. I at one time had a green and white like FSU shirt. I actually had it custom made, but it had the Seminole head on the front and white, all white, and then it was a green Nike pullover, and then it had a four leaf clover or something on the sleeve. So I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, turquoise, I'm not a fan.
Team Richie Harlan.
Do it for the Memphis game. Just do it for the Memphis game then. Like, do it for an off game, like a crappy game.
Well, that's what I said. Don't do it for Florida, Miami. You know, do it for a random game, yeah. And I'm good with it. But yeah. I'm a fan. I really liked it, and it'd be weird, you know, to be honest, at first, but I think it would look amazing.
What about this? White helmet, turquoise jersey, white pants.
I don't like that.
Really? I think it's weird to put the garnet and gold. That's, to me, maybe that's the biggest hang up, is I don't like the garnet or gold with it necessarily.
I love what Harlan just sent in the group chat with the gold lids, the turquoise jersey and the garnet pants and the garnet sleeve and gloves.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Nightmare.
I think that looks amazing. We disagree here, obviously, but I think that looks amazing.
That's a nightmare. All right. That's our uniform talk for the year. So, yeah, I'll just cry the whole week.
We don't talk uniforms ever on the show, but, oh, man, I'm all hot and bothered now. That looks good.
Yikes. So, yeah, again, let us know. You probably already have if you're watching the replay, but let us know down in the comments what you think on that. All right, Harlan, let's roll to our next one here. So, Richie, I've got a question for you. We didn't pick a side yet, but I'll let you go first and then I'll just argue the other side, because I think there's pros and cons for both. But is it better for Florida State, not what you want personally, not what you think will happen, what is better for Florida State week one when Miami and Florida face off in the Swamp? Is it better for Miami to win that game, or is it better for Florida to win that game? I don't care how you answer. You can answer for just this year. You can answer for their long-term futures, whatever. But what is ultimately better for FSU?
Just this year, if you're a Florida State fan, you want Florida to win this game. And I firmly believe that, because the back half of Florida's schedule, they might go 0-5 to end the season, and Billy Napier is fired regardless, right? So Billy Napier is most likely getting fired either way. So you want Florida to win this game, because Miami, you know, and obviously, this is a Florida State show, so people may not want to hear this. Miami's going to be pretty good this year. They are going to have a solid team. And getting that loss early is a big deal, because it's not a conference loss. So I understand that part of it. But it's a loss early in the season to where some of these players might have some doubt in their mind. Cam Ward, you know, who's a one-year rental, a true one-year rental, that where he's only collecting a paycheck. He doesn't care about Miami at all. He doesn't care about that team, the culture, none of that. Maybe they drop an early ACC game, and that's a big deal for Florida State, who is trying to get to Charlotte, because if you win the ACC championship, you are guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff next year. So I think Florida winning is best for Florida State this year specifically, TJ. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I definitely get that logic. I get that thought. I think there's definitely different ways to attack it, different ways to look at it. I'll say that, like, you could start to make the argument that Florida State just needs to take care of their own business, right? And if I'm going to argue against you, Florida State needs to win their games, and everything else will take care of itself. Florida State, you think about, like, when Florida won championships, like, Florida State and Miami were absolute dog crap, you know, in the mid to late 2000s, right? And Florida State has figured out a way to win championships while other teams were really good. right? They won championships in the early 90s when Miami was really good and Florida was – they won championships in the late 90s and Miami won just 2 years later. I mean, Florida could have been in that 2001, you know, championship. They were really good with Rex Grossman. If 9/11 doesn't happen, they don't play Miami at the end of the year with their whole team sick, and they probably are in that 0-1. So anyway,
Rex Grossman should have won the Heisman.
Yeah, Florida State has found a way to win, even when other teams have been good. So after what happened with the playoff this last year, I think you need all the quality wins you can get. And there's like you just said, there's no chance that Miami or that Florida is going to be a quality win in week 12, right? But there's a chance that Miami could be a quality win in like week, whatever it is, 9, 10, 11, you know, it's not 11. But there's a chance that Florida could be a good win. I'm sorry, Miami. And so to me, like, for Florida State, I don't know that one game between your two rivals really matters all that much. I think you need as many good wins as you can against we've talked about it. Like, we've already kind of said, like, hey, man, you could really easily win 10 or 11 games because the schedule is just not very hard. Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, right? You go 2-1 in there, you should go 11-1 this year. And so I think you need all the good wins you can get. And Miami winning early is probably a good thing. Now, nobody's going to be upset if Miami crashes and burns and is 4-7 coming into that game against you late in the year, right? Like, no, I'm going to be boo-hooing because we didn't get an extra quality win. But I think ultimately for this year, it does help Florida State for Miami to win that game early and be a quality win later in the year for the Noles. Or, I mean, the reverse of that would be a quality loss, right? I mean, I know that only matters if you're in the SEC most of the time. But if Florida State was to, you know, lose that game to Miami, and that's their only loss, but Miami's in the ACC championship with a win over Florida and has run the table, I mean, I think that obviously bodes well for you to try and sneak in or backdoor into that top 12. So, I don't know, that would probably be the argument I'd make. At the end of the day, I do think that, you know, big picture, Florida's going to fire their coach anyway, the faster that Miami can hit the reset button too. Like, yeah, probably makes sense there to cheer for Miami to have to fire their coach too. That said, I don't think they're firing him. I don't think they're even close to firing him because if he doesn't work out, like, they're never going to find a coach that's going to work out. So I don't know. Did I change your mind at all?
No, I will say if Miami wins that game, and I think they will, man, their fans on Twitter, all 12 of them will be like a massive group of people. I cannot wait for this. It's going to be a fun game. Florida State will be sitting 1-0 after a win against Georgia Tech. We'll have just got back from Ireland. I'm really excited. I might go to the game. I might have to go to that one because I don't think Florida State's playing that day. It's just what an opportunity for both of these teams, because if you're Billy Napier, you're coaching for your job. To your point, TJ, Mario Cristobal, he's safe. He could go 6-6 the next 2 years and he's not getting fired. Yeah, like Miami is just, they have to accept at this point, if it's not Mario, it's nobody. He's the best recruiter they could ever have. They do have a solid NIL. I don't think it's anywhere close to what the Battle's End has going on, but Miami does have a solid NIL, but I just don't see it with them. And, you know, I do think Billy Napier, I think he's fired over under November 1st for Billy to get fired.
Yeah, I mean, he's not lasting one way or the other, even if they let him finish out the year or not. Like, there's no way he's back in 2025 if they just absolutely shock and somehow find a way to go 8-4 or something, you know, ridiculous like that, then, you know, we'll see. But yeah,
their schedule sets up to go 5-0 to start the season. they are going to go 0-5 to end the season, most likely. It's a crazy schedule.
So, yeah, and then again, people always say, like, recruiting, there's nothing in between, right? Like, recruiting's either the most important thing ever, you know, like Miami thinks, more than games even. And then there's the side that's like, recruiting means nothing, and we're just going to find a way to win either way. But, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Miami is already recruiting at a top five level with a crappy record to kind of go with your point again. I think I would not necessarily want to see Mario recruit if they were like 10-2 or 9-3.
No.
Based on what he's already doing.
That'd be a problem.
You know, what is he down there? He's 13-14 over 2 years. I don't necessarily know that I would want to, and he's recruited top 10 back-to-back years, like top five one of the 2 years. I don't necessarily know that I would want to see him recruit with a record that's that good. Anyway, all right. So we may disagree there, but that's fine. No sweat. And at the end of the day, I kind of agree with you too. We play on that Monday night. So, I mean, we certainly could go to that game on Saturday night, week one. We play on Monday night in Tallahassee. So we could do that on Saturday. Maybe we'll
you think they'd grant us media credentials, field passes?
I think I would just use a hookup there, bro. I don't think they'd give the French Fry Podcast a credential. So we'll see, though. I take that back. They did. I requested it for the Florida State game in 2021, and they granted it. So I mean, I guess they would, but I tailgate too hard to keep doing that. So I was on my best behavior on that one. So all right, Harlan, last one. We'll switch it over, and then we'll get on with it and wrap up after this one. But Richie, last one I've got for you. Speaking of Big Three, we kind of talked about that game specifically. But if you're looking at the QB rooms in the state of Florida, between Florida State, Florida, and Miami, not necessarily top player, not necessarily if you're just looking at one guy, but is there any team that has, you know, like, I think it's between Florida and Florida State at the end of the day, and I'll shut up and just ask the question, but let's talk about QB rooms in the state. I think it's Florida State 1, Florida 2, Miami 3. Do you want to argue against that at all? Do you want to say that maybe Mertz is a little bit more proven than DJU and then Lagway is a bit above Kromenhawk? Or like, how do you see the state when it comes to just QB room?
I'd like to disagree with it, but man, I think, you know, DJ Uiagalelei is a very good quarterback. And, you know, obviously he's 1 year rental. Graham Mertz has 1 year left at Florida. Cam Ward is a 1 year rental at Miami. I think the difference is DJ actually wants to be at Florida State, right? And that's, if you follow his dad, Big Dave, on Twitter, if you don't, please go do that. Cause he sends it, puts out a ton of really cool information and insight. And it's just really cool to see. I just think Cam Ward doesn't care where he's playing college football this year. He got a really bad draft grade. That doesn't mean he's not a great college quarterback, because he is. And you know, I think he's going to be very good at Miami. But I like Florida State where they're at with Brock Glenn in the wings and Luke Kromenhawk. Florida, Graham Mertz, I got to be honest, TJ, he was a lot better than I thought he was going to be this year. I thought he was going to be trash. I thought he was an Alex Hornibrook. He was not. He was actually pretty good.
I agree. You're right.
Like, he was actually pretty good. And DJ Lagway, man, that kid's potential is out of the world. His ceiling is so high. I don't mean to give a ton of praise to UF, but I'm going to with their quarterback room. I think for 2024, Florida State has QB room in the country, because you have DJ Uiagalelei, and if he goes down, Brock Glenn has experience. He's taken those bullets, and you have Luke Kromenhawk, right? I think Florida is probably the last as far as quarterback rooms this year specifically, but they're set up for success way more than Miami is right now. Miami just has Cam Ward, who is a very good college quarterback, but the guy fumbled the ball 14 times last year. We can't forget about that. That has to be something to be mentioned. So for strictly 2024, I think Florida State 1, I think Miami 2, just because Cam Ward has, his ceiling is so, so high. But long term, it's Florida State 1, Florida 2, Miami 3, in my opinion.
So, yeah, I think it's hard for me to not go Florida State 1. And mostly just because of how much experience is there. Again, you might, like, any given person might rank Uiagalelei, Ward, and Mertz in any order, right? Yeah. Like, you could conceivably, I mean, if you wanted to put Ward 1, I mean, Mertz's numbers were slightly better than Uiagalelei's last year, you know, against probably slightly better competition too in the SEC. So if you wanted to base it on that and you wanted to say that Mertz was better than you, like, I wouldn't argue with the this year's starters in any order. Like, I just wouldn't get to me, and they're so close, right? Like, I don't think any of them are like leaps and bounds better than the other guy, right? Like, if when the NCAA ratings come out, I keep saying NCAA, which is a trash organization that I should never mention again. When the EA Sports College Football ratings come out, like, I think they'll all be within like 4 points.
Yeah. 85 like, to 89.
Yeah, like you might see like Cam Ward at like 87, maybe 89. You might see Mertz at like 85, and you might see Uyunglele at like 86, 87, right? Like, I think they're going to be like really close. And so, I don't know, to spend like time arguing that top spot to me is irrelevant because it's pretty much like a net equal. They're all about the same. Yeah. They all do some things well. They all do some things poorly. Mertz can't hit the long ball. Uyunglele is not the most accurate all the time. Cam Ward fumbles a crap ton. Like, everybody's got their weaknesses. They've all got their strengths. Mertz is very accurate. Uyunglele is a great runner and can certainly take, you know, like, bulldoze and has a cannon on his arm. Cam Ward makes a lot of play. Like, there's a lot to like about each of them. There's some questions around each one of them. But then when you look at the backup, when you look at what the rest of the rooms have, Florida State, a lot of people don't even talk about this. Florida State added a 4-star quarterback as a preferred walk-on this year. Yeah. So there's not only just Krummenhawk, who, you know, Lagway certainly has a little bit higher of a ceiling than Krummenhawk, potentially, right? Like, being the number one quarterback and Luke's like number three. Like, it's not like there's a huge gap there. But if you wanted to say, like, oh, well, Florida's next guy up is slightly better than Florida State's, well, Florida State still has Brock Glenn, who's an ACC champion. They still have a 4-star preferred walk-on right behind him. And then, you know, Miami behind Cam Ward. I mean, they've got the Emory Williams kid from last year who played okay in Doak. I mean, I don't think the game was ever in question. You were never worried about it. They got that, you know, Hufflepuff or whatever. They've got that one kid from, where'd he transfer in from? Albany? Same place as Verse, right? Is that where he came from?
I'm not sure.
And so, yeah, I think that outside of this year, yeah, Miami would be three to me. Like, there's no question. Like, there's nothing there. They're going to have to go, to me, they're going to have to go to the portal again. Like, all that, you know, oh, Mario develops and all this stuff that, I mean, they're going to go to the portal again for another quarterback. And so, yeah, Florida State, however you want to rank them for 2024 only. I'll tell you what would be interesting, though. Like, if you asked a Gator fan, they might have a point with this. Tell me if you think I'm crazy. I think they're going to do, now I don't know if it's going to be as effective, but I think with Mertz and Lagway, they're going to do a little bit of that leak Tebow stuff. I think they're going to play Lagway some this year. And that actually could be effective. Now, I think they'll be very smart about it. They'll run Lagway because he's a big kid, kind of like Tebow, not as big as Tebow, but like big kid, not as Tebow wasn't super accurate either. But if you wanted to make the argument for Florida for this year only, and that was the way you made the argument, I could almost buy it. I think I could like almost get on board for that change of pace. Do you think I'm crazy there?
No, I could definitely see that. And, you know, with the NIL and, you know, you're recruiting your own roster nonstop. I would not want to be a college football head coach right now. It's just ridiculous. But I do think Lagway gets out there. To your point, TJ, much like, you know, 06, the way they used Tebow when they had Chris Leak, because Florida does not beat Tennessee in 2006 without Tim Tebow. And, you know, the national championship game, if Ted Ginn doesn't get hurt, Ohio State wins by 50. I will always believe that in my mind, even if it's wrong. But, yeah, man, I think Lagway is a stud. Like, I hate to give Florida and their quarterback recruit this much respect, but I do think he's that good. And it's easy if you just ride Mertz, who are we kidding? He's not going to get drafted. If he does, he's a 6th or 7th rounder. If you only play him and don't play Lagway, well, there's a chance someone else says, hey, Lagway, I got, you know, $10 million or whatever it is. Come to Georgia, come to Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, whoever it may be. Lane Kiffin may be at Florida next year. Who knows? But, I do think there's an argument for Florida to have the best quarterback room if Mertz grows from what he was this past year. Because this past year, he was so better than I thought he was going to be. Doesn't mean it was great or anything like that, but he was really good based on what he's dealing with. And with that offense, with the play caller, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, there's an argument to be made for UF, and I'm not gonna deny that.
And that's why I think you could make one for literally all three rooms in the Big Three this year. I don't think there's an argument for the totality of the rooms. The other thing, and you just mentioned it, having to recruit your own roster. The other thing is I have heard, and I think UF fans are worried about this too, I've heard that Lagway is pretty tied to Napier. And so the one thing I think that could save Napier's job is I think he's going to play Lagway a ton, hoping that he looks really good. Because then even if they lose games, he can say like, hey, this is my guy. You know he's leaving if you fire me. And with him next year, we'll win 9-10 games. And so now they can't go 3-9 and use that excuse. But if they go 5-7 and keep those games at the end close, or maybe find a way to upset LSU or upset Ole Miss or upset us, whatever. I mean, they're not going to beat Texas or Georgia any chance at all. But what if they lose to Georgia by 10? You know, and then upset LSU in Baton Rouge. Or no, that'd be in the Swamp. I mean, that's not – I don't think it's crazy to think that they could upset LSU. And then maybe they beat us by a field goal. Maybe they lose by a field goal, like in a close game. And Lagway, like, plays really well in it. Maybe that saves his job because they don't want to lose Lagway. I'll tell you this, too. If he went 6-6 against this schedule, I think that'd be a minor miracle. I think they should keep him at 6-6, just for the record.
Yeah, I'm betting the under at 5.5 is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think they get to 4. But
I think it's going to be very similar to a classic Miami season. I think they're going to start pretty strong, probably 5-0, 4-1. But I don't see them ending the season above 500. 6-6 to me is their ceiling. But they're going to start really, really strong. And then they just have to their credit, it's just a buzzsaw that last half of the schedule. It's ridiculous for Florida.
Well, and this is not new at all. That's exactly what happened last year, too. A lot of people forget they started 5-2, but their wins were against McNeese, Charlotte, Vandy, South Carolina, who was a dumpster fire, and they had a good win against Tennessee. They started 5-2, and then they played Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri, Florida State. And
that Arkansas game was bad. That was bad for them.
Really bad. So was Missouri, man. They had a 4th-and-17 and couldn't get off the field.
That's right.
Mertz got hurt 30 minutes after J-Trav did. So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly not new. Like the idea of like them having getting off to a good start and then just not being able to sustain it. So, but anyway, he's getting fired this year. So,
yeah, 100%.
All right, Harlan, you can go back to the first title, and then we'll wrap this thing up and do our best to get out of here. So, Richie, we have talked about a lot. Let's talk about this and then get out of here. Hoops continuing to struggle. Is there anything that would save – like, is it a foregone conclusion at this point? Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or whatever, but, like, will they move on from Ham? Like, I don't know if you're hearing anything or if you just have a gut or a vibe, but, like, you think this is probably it?
I think it should be. I do think that, you know, with everything going on with the ACC and ESPN lawsuit and all that stuff, you're not in a rush. It's not a one-year decision. So I would not be surprised if they said, hey, you know, Coach Ham, we're going to renew you for 1 year. This will be your last year, and then we're moving on and go from there. It's a really crappy situation. You know, to where we're at, and to Ham's credit, like he can't compete in the NIL era, in the ACC. You know, Duke and Carolina, obviously, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, Ham could compete with Duke and Carolina for recruits. In certain occasions, you know, Michael Snare was a guy that UCLA and Kansas and Duke were his final three options, other than Florida State. Came to Florida State. Dwayne Bacon, you know, Malik Beasley, guys like that. Those guys are no longer options at Florida State, given the NIL situation. Very strong football NIL, basketball not so much. I would love to see him come back one more year to have his true and announce it like, this is your last year, Coach Hamilton, and let him have that ACC farewell tour. Because I do think all of the ACC, despite what's going on with Florida State and the ACC right now, I do think all of these schools would, you know, give Ham his flowers, so to speak. I think it's over for him at Florida State. I'm okay with them coming back one more year, because it's not like we're going to win the ACC next year anyway. And he's meant so much to this school, the greatest basketball coach in the school's history, in my opinion.
This is not a like rhetorical, and certainly not meant like as a cheap shot or me to like. Is he that well respected within the ACC? Like a farewell tour is, I don't want to say necessary, but like where like a farewell tour for Leonard Hamilton is a big deal, right? Like, you know, because he's not Boeheim, he's not Krzyzewski. Obviously, like some of these legends, you know, Roy Williams, some of these legends who have retired recently. He's obviously, there's a massive step there, and that's not a shot at him, but like just. I feel like when you do farewell tours, like there's a difference in Kobe's farewell tour and Paul Pierce's. Like,
yeah.
Hamilton's kind of like closer to Pierce to me.
No, I absolutely think in the ACC, and you almost wish like the Boeheim, Krzyzewski, and you know, roll it out there, Roy, were still coaching, because I think they all respect the hell out of Coach Ham. And people forget, before he went to Florida State, Michael Jordan handpicked him to be the head coach at Washington in the NBA. I just think it would definitely be warranted, and I think it would be well-received, because whatever people think about Florida State, obviously, you know, the ACC hates anything Florida State-related right now. But no, I truly believe he would be extremely well-respected in a farewell tour, and I'm hoping that's how this ends. And then, you know, 2025, you know, we move forward to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what'll end up happening. I did see Dennis Gates in Missouri are struggling though right now, so maybe if they want to let him go,
you see, he's got to watch his mouth at those press conferences.
Yeah, I wonder if he got fined or not. Actually, I guess if it's just your internal press conference, it's not a big, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
it's just on your own YouTube.
He wasn't talking about the refs; he was just talking about his own team. So
yeah, so I'm sure his AD had to say like, "Hey, dog, please don't do this."
Can't do that.
Baseball 6-0. Softball went 6-0 this weekend. They struggled a little bit in Clearwater, we talked about. But, you know, pretty decent start for both of the stick sports. Baseball won 20-7 today. And I'll say this. Like, they haven't played. I mean, Jacksonville's good. Jacksonville's okay, right? And they won that, you know, in kind of dramatic fashion late the other night. But they haven't played incredible competition, but they've got a real chance to go into that Florida game into that Florida game midweek in a week and a half undefeated. And so I think they've, you know, it's really early, but like last year's team would have dropped like a game or two already. Like they'd be like 4-2, and they'd have won both series. They'd have, you know, like they'd have dropped a game to Jacksonville, but they do seem a little bit different. They hit really well. Pitching in the bullpen is not great, but baseball off to a good start. I don't know. You were at a UCF game today, though, so you probably didn't even watch it.
I did not, but I love it. And I just wish we would go. I say this every year. I don't know if I said it on this podcast before. I hate midweek games against Florida, right? I wish it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Tallahassee series to where you see the best pitchers. Midweek, I just hate it. Like, you know, one of my buddies from high school pitched at Florida State. Shout out Bo Odell, and I don't think he'd be upset by me saying this. Like, he wasn't an ace, and he always got to pitch against Florida because it was those midweek games. And I would just love to see a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, a full series to where we can actually get an idea of what this is like, because I just hate midweek games against a rival. I just don't think that should happen. And that's where we're at. And that's not changing anytime soon. Unless, going back to the start of the show, we do somehow end up in the SEC. Then we will have a really fun weekend series in Gainesville and Tallahassee. And I will be at both of those.
Yeah. Okay. You just sold me on the SEC. It's all for baseball. Listen, softball does the same thing, and I hate it, man. Like,
yeah,
it sucks doing two midweek games, man, when you could do a
– Well, softball's a little different because your pitcher can pitch whenever. Like, yeah. Baseball, you need your ace on Friday.
From a fan perspective. Like,
yeah,
You go to a Florida State game, and there's a bunch of empty seats, and you're just like, why is this the case? But, yeah, I agree. And it's tough, you know, it's obviously hard to get to a game on a Tuesday night, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you make a weekend out of it, and you get to watch them play three times, and – you know, really have a fun series, man. That'd be incredible. So, which softball certainly could do it. Like, they could schedule it. I don't know if they just don't do it because of, you know, they model what baseball does. But anyway, whatever. I've got a shout out tonight for, I know this is not necessarily why people tune in, but women's tennis upset number 15 Duke today, and they did it in pretty convincing fashion. Like, we've talked about, we've had Jen Hyde on here and stuff before, but you know, you played a seven. There is, you know, six singles matches and a doubles match. The doubles match is worth 1 point. They won 6-1. So they absolutely dominated, and even the one they lost was really, really close. And so, man, top 15 team, big upset, and did it. I shot her a text and I said, "You guys made it a little bit too easy. I'm used to FSU sports stressing me out way, way more than you guys did." And she laughed at it and was like, you know, glad we could do our part or whatever. But so that's my shout out for the night. Oh, and my wife ran a half marathon this morning. So shout out to her. Richie, what you got?
Yeah. Shout out to, you know, I'll give them a shout out. Shout out UCF baseball. Like, that, you know, it's a really tiny stadium, even compared to Dick Houser. But, you know, the staff was amazing, very welcoming. You know, they were very accommodating to the dogs and everything. Had a blast with the wife out there today. Again, the weather just was the cherry on top, and phenomenal time. UCF ends up beating Samford, which is Bobby's old school. Unfortunately, I was low key. I actually wore Florida State quarter zip, and the wife was wearing UCF because that's where she actually went to. Just a fun time, and the weather again helps. But yeah, man, it's just a great weekend overall.
Cool. Well, hey, if you watch this live, make sure that you hit the subscribe button. We'll put some clips out this week that should be pretty good. Trying to work on an update on the ACC FSU stuff. We should have an update in about a month. We'll definitely do a video before then, but an update in about a month when we have a hearing, an actual real live hearing, will be fun. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.